Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I think about this, you know, and I think about, I see this tide, this storm coming, and I just see it everywhere. I see it. I see it. God shows it to me in visions. He shows it to me in dreams. He shows it to me in his word. You can just look around. I mean, even a young kid could look around if they actually had discernment to see it's happening. And one of those things that's happening, words that was spoken out, and he talks about it in you know, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He says, when I send a plague amongst my people. That's what he says. God says that. We always talk about the next verse that says, if my people who are called by my name. But that comes first with, you know, me disciplining you.
Right.
And so that's a progression. It's sort of like the Hosea chapter 1 or
Joel 1
is like, when I send a plague and locusts and this type of thing.
Right.
Well, John Paul Jackson prophesied a word, and you can see this, and he talked about several things happening. One was pestilence. And one was, you know, that pestilence was going to happen. And you think, well, how is that going to happen? Well, right now, this week, I believe it is this week, the CDC, who are supposed to be the best at handling diseases, got exposed to anthrax. 50 people, 50. And the survival rate, according to ABC News, survival rate is like 80% by getting exposed. If you get treated by antibiotics, it's like a 40% or something like that survival rate. The CDC had got the people who were so cautious. And it's just real weird. Mm. It's weird because, I mean, they know about diseases and they said, oh, we thought it was dead. Well, you know, it's like a shark, you know. You still approach it with caution. It's like an alligator. You approach it with caution. If it's anthrax and it'll kill you, it's 80% chance it's going to kill you. Put some gloves on. Yeah, but they didn't. You know, and you're seeing things like this. And then you're seeing, because that would be, if anthrax got loose, that would be like a plague or pestilence. But then you're seeing right now, intentionally, we are allowing illegal immigrants to come flooding over our borders. And it's not just in... A lot of people think, well, that's just around the border. Well, they realize, whoever's doing this realize that's what people think. So what we got to do then, we got to start putting them on planes and delivering these illegal immigrants to different places around the nation. But this is the issue. The reports are that some of them have tuberculosis. Some of them have different diseases that you would have if you don't have medical in your nation, medical treatment, but we would have too if we didn't have their shots and the things that we have to do when you have.
Right.
And it's like, so when you think about outbreaks, if you trace outbreaks, so like the bubonic plague, it started with one soldier, for example, then it went to two, then it went to three.
Yeah.
But now we have scattering all of these potential viruses and tuberculosis and all these things coming around the land, scattering. The possibility... The possibility of a widespread epidemic is very present just by looking at what they're doing right now and not even being concerned about it. We are talking about pestilence, believe it or not, and plagues, and we're looking at how reports are that they're expecting 280-something thousand, I believe it is, coming over the borders in the next year or so. They're hiring people to come. In January, by the way, they're actually advertising to hire people to come transport these illegal immigrants who have yet to come to transport them to these different cities around the nation. And that's, you know, as a Christian, that's the opportunity for us as a mission field. If we wouldn't go nowhere, the people are coming to us,
so we can
go. It's a great opportunity for us. But in regards to pestilence and plagues and sicknesses, that it doesn't take, it just takes one person who has an outbreak. That's why you see this swine flu and these different things going on. And next thing you know, you see everybody in China wearing a mask. It's because it just spreads that easy. And you can track it all the way back. But the thing about it is like, so you're, why is this happening? You can do this, and this is what a lot of people's doing. They're actually blaming political parties. Or you can do this, you know, other people are just blaming people. They're just saying, he's a bad guy. She's a bad woman, you know, whatever. And some people are blaming the economy. You know, some people are blaming everything, but few people are taking ownership, like the man that you hear quite often in our break segments that he says, you know, it's my fault. It's what I did in my life that's caused this. Dear God, forgive us. And so why would these, and I say this, I say that nothing happens outside of God allowing it to happen. I don't think, and I know that Lucifer does not have an upper hand on God. I really believe that Jehoiakim is where we're at right now, which is God set man in place to bring us to a place, to turn us over to everything we said we wanted, everything that we said we wanted. Think about this. Everything that we said we wanted, he says, you won't quail, I'll give it to you till he's coming out your nose. And right now it's like a fire hose of everything that people said they had to have as a rebellious teenager, all those different things going on. It's like it's just being downloaded rapidly. And that means to me that God is saying, fine, you know, you won't quail, you keep thinking about, you know, going back to the place of bondage, and it was Israel coming out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness and they're going, at least I want some loaves and some garlic and some hot sauce, Pat would say, and some, you know, some quail. And God brought them all the stuff that they wanted. He brought them everything that they wanted. And he brought a wind that came down and kind of gathered all this quail together for all these folks in the wilderness. And they went and ate so much quail, it was literally coming out their nose. They ate so much, is what he said. But then it says this, while the meat was in their teeth, God's anger burned against them. You know, so many people think, wow, I'm finally getting what I want. But you never bothered to find out, is that what God wants? Is that what God's will? And the thing is, he could be giving you over to it. And if you haven't yet heard, you need to hear, you know, is America under God's judgment? You need to hear that. You need to go to VFNTV.com and acquire that. Because it's just asking the question. I mean, nobody wants to. I mean, who wants to say that? But I'll tell you the truth, that if you are getting a five-year sentence, you know, from a judge because you violated some crime, you could talk to that person. They would say, I'm under judgment. Because they are. The judge is going, you're going to get 5 years for this. I'm not talking about eternal judgment. I'm just talking about judgment. And there's three phases of judgment. He talks about it in Romans, New Testament, Romans chapter 1. And the progression of these three phases. And we are in the third phase of being turned over. Now, being turned over is sort of like saying that minimum force is necessary to get us to turn back to him. It's not giving us, turning us away. If he wanted to do that, he could just take the air away. He holds our hearts in his hands. It would just stop. He's wanting us to say, you know, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And not only to say that, but then to begin to follow him and leave our lifestyle of sin and the things that we did that was against his way. And people say, well, that wouldn't happen. God wouldn't. He wouldn't send pestilence. He wouldn't send a plague. And God, you know, just read his word. 81% of Christians in America who have Bibles do not pick them up, according to George Barna. So you can't say nothing. I just heard a congressman speaking to a commissioner at the White House this week. And he asked the man, he said, has any laws been broken in your agency? And he says, no, I don't believe there's any wrongdoing at all. And he says, has any laws been broken? And he said, I don't believe any wrongdoing. He's like, you know, what laws did you look at? Did you look at any laws and then compare what was being done, if anything was violated? And he goes, well, no, I didn't look at any laws. He says, well, how do you even know then if there was a law broken or not? And he kept on saying, I don't believe there's any wrongdoing. He's like, you didn't. You didn't even look at the law.
Wow.
How are you even going to know?
Yeah.
Well, I just know the people. And it's like, that's how the church is today.
Wow.
The church is that way today. Nobody, 81% is not even picking it up. So they don't even, you don't even know what it's saying. And and that's why we're talking to you. Maybe you're going to get the word this way, you know, through VFN TV. But let me tell you what the word of God says. Look at this. This will shock you in regards to pestilence. Because he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, let me get it here for you. He He talks very specifically about this. He says, when I, this is God talking through his people. He says, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain. Okay, we got a drought all the way from Texas to the West Coast that's cracking slabs and foundations in Texas. Or command locusts to devour the land. In other words, all your crops and your jobs and everything starting to be, you know, where's it was jobs. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people working, but they're working for as much money as they made in the 70s.
Right.
And so we're looking at that's taking place. And he's saying, when I do this, and then he even says, when I send a plague amongst my people, I mean, think about it. This is God sending a plague amongst his people. And somebody says, why would a loving, kind God do that? Because, first of all, if we continue that path, we're going to be totally separated from him forever. And so his desire is for us to see the error of our ways and save us from eternal separation from him. He wants so much to be with you forever that he will allow hardship to come your way in hopes that it will lead you to a place of repentance. He tried kindness. I mean, nobody in America can't say that he didn't try kindness.
That's right.
That didn't work. Kindness didn't work. The richest, the top 3% in the world, whatever it is, you know, all that stuff. So kindness, somebody says, well, you know, we did kindness. We did PowerPoints, kindness. Well, anyway. So we did all that. It didn't work. We in the comfort and conveniences That's of right. life. And there's some great, great articles and segments on the torch. You got to get them. Go to the original tent of the church and just begin to explore that. You know, what does God really say about the church? And get in the Word and abide. But this is what he says. He says when things have, basically he's doing this when God, his people have gone astray. Because right after he says, when I send a plague amongst my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I, God, will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. I mean, think about this. God's saying, I'm trying to position you so I can bless you. Mm. I'm trying to position you so I can forgive you. Right now, you don't even know you need forgiveness. I'm trying to get you to a point where you know that outside of you having this experience with me, that you won't be with me in eternity. You will be away from me in eternity where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is his outreach to us. You know, somebody says, this is tough. Hell's much worse. Mm-hmm. Hell's much worse. And so his goal was, in the context of when I sent a plague amongst my people, was so that we would, our attention would be gotten, and we'd say, hey, I'm your people. And so we can't blame it on the world, right? And we got to say, you know what? I was wrong, God. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm not going to be like that commissioner who was being talked to by the Congress, and he was saying no laws are broken, but he didn't even. He professed to say he didn't. I mean, he's an intelligent man, but we're not going to get into that. But the church is doing that. I mean, people will talk to you for hours. And then finally you start saying, you know, are you saved? I'm like, no, I don't know. Or, you know, do you read your Bible? No, never read. I'm just too busy to read the Bible. But I heard it on a sign. I was driving by at 55 miles an hour. I saw a sign. Mm. If it wasn't for these signs in front of church buildings around America, we'd be really in trouble. Keep putting those signs on.
Big time.
That's the only message some of the guys are getting. And so when you think about it, it's like, my goodness, so pestilence is coming, and we're watching these transport of human beings that are being used instead of, listen, let's just take care of them where they're at. Let's build hospitals where they're at, like missions. Let's go help their government change to treat their people better. Let's just don't use these children,
right?
You know, and that's what's happened. It's being used. And we all love the children, and we should love everybody, and we want to help them. But you know, this is what happens when a plague is happening in a community. The first thing they do it on ships, they do it in communities, hospitals, whatever. They quarantine, which means they take that person who's carrying that virus, and they pull them away from everybody else. And then they help try to cure that person. But they do not let the person go into the population because that's how the plague spreads. Well, look what's happening. We're transporting folks, reportedly, you know, that have different viruses. And not every one of them, but just some of them have viruses. And they're reporting it. And I think it's just all part of the whole thing. You know, let them know they have virus. We don't care. And then they're carrying the people around and putting them in different places. It's like, it's a guaranteed outside the mercies of God,
right,
that this thing's going to kick off in regards to, we're going to have, it's going to be like the bubonic plague. It says, as mysteriously as it came in, it left. But it left with millions of people, I believe, dead on the face of the earth.
Wow.
So many people were dying during the bubonic plague that they ran out of caskets. That if a family member died in your house, they had to actually take the family member to the street and leave them in the street because everybody else in the household would be contaminated. Wow. This is in America. That everybody quit socializing with anybody because you didn't know whether you're going to get it or not. And it was just tragic. And it happened in America, it happened across the world, but it happened in America. But God says, when I send a plague, it doesn't slip by. Things don't slip by God. We got to ask ourselves. And the thing about it is, okay, now, if he sends the locusts and sends the plague because we're in rebellion, and then we have the plague and the locusts and all this, and we repent, think about this. Since we know this is how things happen, and we're seeing a storm fashioned against us by God, we can repent now like Nineveh did. I mean, of all the lands to be having something in right now, Nineveh is in the news. Nineveh is in the news right this moment. That's with northern Iraq. And they're talking about this, I forget the name of the CC or whatever they're called. A group came down.
ISIS,
came down and took over Nineveh. Mm. I mean, it's like God's just shouting to us. But because we're not in the Word, we're like that commissioner before Congress going, I don't believe we're doing anything wrong. But if we get in the Word of God, it's like Nineveh's shouting to us. Persecution's shouting to us. Plagues and pestilence is shouting to us. And we're going to talk more about that when we get back, because I got good news for you. Because if you're with the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, He has a promise that He will protect you from these things. We're looking at God's Word, and if you get, you got to get, is America under God's judgment? You know, may y'all make it available to anybody who wants this, and you got to hear it. You got to hear, ask the question. So many people just jump on and go, no, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, it's like, well, what's your basis? Well, just no. They don't have any, right? They don't have any scriptural basis. They're not abiding with the Lord. They're not hanging out with people that do. But they speak with such authority. I mean, it seems like it's like Jude, the book of Jude, he says, these guys, you know, they argue all these points about everything and about things they don't understand. And the things they do understand, like unreasonable animals, this is the very things that destroy them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like a discussion of an argument, a different viewpoint. That's real healthy if there's something to it, if it's sourced, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you have, you know, what are you talking about? And the thing about it, we are in three phases of judgment. We've definitely passed the first phase. The first phase is, you know, not being grateful, not acknowledging God, not having a heart of gratitude. I mean, who's grateful? I mean, you find one grateful person and you want to give them everything you have. I mean, it's so rare in America to find somebody that's grateful. And I mean, you can love folks all day long in America, and it's like, okay, you owe that to me. Or, I mean, it's just weird.
Right.
There's no gratitude. We're like the top 3% of the world in regards to resources and finance, and, you know, people are climbing over our borders to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not grateful. We're not, you know, and it's like, okay, we've got that. He says, therefore, he turns them over to a particular, to do things that ought not to be done, sexual sins.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next phase is another phase where all of a sudden we begin to just credit everything but God for what's going on.
And that's happening everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. The work of our hands and all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
And you can tell that by 97% of people who profess to be Christians who go to a church gathering at least once every 2 weeks, 97% of them rob from God in the tithes and the offerings.
Yeah.
97%. That means 97% have violated that second phase because they're saying, I earned this money. God didn't bless my hands. He didn't bless me to put me in this place. And they're taking credit for it.
Yeah, huge arrogance. I mean, just...
check, right? Yeah,
for sure.
And then the third phase is what you're seeing take place right now. You're seeing this huge open acceptance to any form of sexuality that people feel that they want to be able to have. And he's just giving the nation over to it, just like he did the first two phases of it. And me personally, I really believe that if you go and try to fight a fight that you yourself are in violation of the first two phases of that judgment, you know, they're going to eat your lunch because it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with they are our harvest, that we turned our backs on God, that we stopped preaching God's word. We started teaching other things from the pulpits that we shouldn't have taught. We were okay with telling people, you don't need to read your Bible, 81%
right.
of regular church attenders. We told people, you don't have to honor God with the tithe. You can rob from God and he'll still. We told them all these different things. Yeah. And it's like, so the third phase of that, and then there's the final phase of it is being turned over to a reprobate mind where we can't even reason anymore. And it's so if you try to go out and try to fight about it in a political way, if you try to go out and try to tell people to act right, they're going to eat your lunch because this is our discipline. Mm-hmm. You have to understand, and God loves every human being on the face of the earth, and he loves every American. And if you actually think that person is your problem, you know, you're going down. I mean, that's pride. Because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. This has nothing to do with folks who say, I don't want your Jesus. And I don't, you know, want to follow your God. Yeah. I mean, they made their choice.
Yeah.
We don't project on them what we want them to act like a Christian. We just go, that's your choice. And we still love them in hopes one day they would. But so here we are seeing this thing take place. And so it's like, my goodness, what's happening? Well, Psalms 91, I'm not going to read a whole Psalms 91, but it should encourage you because he talks about pestilence right here. And we talk about abiding, abiding, abiding. We even have a plan for you, iabide.org. But he says in Psalms 91, he says, he who abides in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And when you think about abiding, when you're abiding with God, and you know, abiding means you're hanging out with him, you're listening to him, you're reading his word, you're hiding his word in your heart, you're conversating with God, prayer, you're talking to him, you're listening and doing what he says. In other words, you got a close relationship with God. That's called abiding with God. When you're doing that, you're like, you're under his wings, you're under his protection, you're in the shadow of the creator of the universe. Think about that. You're in God's shadow. Is that not cool? You're in the shadow of God when you abide with him. That's what we talk about. We're not trying to, you just need to abide. If you do anything, abide with the Lord. And you want to find out more about abiding, go to iabide.org. But he goes on to says, he says that I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. And I want to be able to understand that because we're such a blessed land today. We don't understand what refuge is, but refuge is a place that you could go to when everybody's against you.
Yeah.
Everybody's home should be a place of refuge. It's not, but it should be a place of refuge. There should be a place in your life, a place of refuge. But in God, no matter, even if you're in prison, like Miriam Ibrahim, even today, when they rearrested her again today, that she can actually be in a refuge in God where she's protected in God. And look what God's doing already. And so we're believing that's going to break through. But you can have, no matter what's going on, and some of you are fearful. You know, you're watching all this stuff because you're trusting in your own strength. You're trusting in men and politics and Washington, D.C. But I got good news for you. You can trust in God because he is faithful. And he says that he is your refuge and your fortress. When you think about a fortress, I know that when Pat and I were in Jerusalem, we see the city of David. I mean, they had these high walls. And it's just awesome walking up to to the city. And it's at night, especially when the lights are on and you're walking up these high, high walls. And it's a fortress. And God is our fortress. And the thing about it is that he's our fortress by faith, our confidence, our surety, and our certainty. And finally, I want to say this before we come to an end here is he says this. He says, surely, in verse 3, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. He will save you from deadly pestilence. So if he has to deal with the people, if you're abiding with him and you're walking with him, he will protect you. He will save you from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. And it makes me think about the four living creatures before the throne of God who are covered in feathers, who fly around the throne crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He will cover you in feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the dark, nor the plague that destroys at noonday. Our God is a mighty God. What's happening right now is maybe the answer to your prayer. You're saying, I wish more people would make a decision to follow God. I wish more people would repent and turn from their wicked ways. Like, This is how it happened.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you, though this is happening, if you're walking with the Lord, if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, your faith needs to be your protection, your faith in this reality of Psalms 91. The faith in the reality, when he talks about it, Paul writes to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, listen, he says, your faith is your shield which protects you from all the arrows of the evil one. You got to have confidence. God doesn't just come down against your will and protect you. You have confidence that he'll protect you. You have confidence that you're in the shadow of God. You have confidence when you abide with him that no matter what happens in the economies of the world, that God will bless your economies. Listen, there is a storm being fashioned, and you want to be on the right side of this. And you want to encourage other people to say, you know what? We don't have to wait to get so bad that we were limping. We can actually say, you know what? Let's repent now. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, guess what? Just like Nineveh, God will change his plans. If you want to make that decision today, I invite you to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Call out to him. Cry out to him. As a matter of fact, you can even go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories, how we are on the journey, how we met God through his son, Jesus Christ. You can do that too. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.